Welcome back to the Golf Shop. Mark Greenhalgh, Mike Fursina. This segment brought to you by GreaterGolfExpress.com, the place to order all your golf equipment and accessories. Why pay big box store prices when you can pay less at GreaterGolfExpress.com? Joining us now, a friend of the show from Game Golf, John McGuire.
Obviously, the wearables, and we've talked about them in the past, and we've really looked at your product, and we enjoy it. The wearable category has become such a big deal. What's new? What's next? And then I want to talk to you about some applications for it that maybe we haven't explored in the past, like in instruction and things like that. But what's going on in the wearable category, and specifically with Game Golf?
Okay, so I have a few data points here. One is, you're right. I mean, in the health and fitness space, you've got the likes of Fitbit and others that have just really put this whole notion of collecting data on the map, are in the awareness of millions and millions of people. And it's no different for golf. In 2014, when we launched the company and our partnerships, we launched the first wearable into the industry, which was a little device that you wear in your belt and little tags that go into your golf clubs. Now we have, you know, we are well over a million rounds of golf having been uploaded to our platform. And that's from over 133 countries worldwide on over 28,000 golf courses. So, you know, this whole notion of data being collected in golf via wearables, it's obviously very interesting to golfers, you know, and why not? I mean, it allows you to, if you're a high handicap golfer, it allows you to, you know, I can play a course here in San Francisco. I can compete against my brother in Ireland. If I want to become a better golfer, then it might be all about the stats or stroke gained analysis or just being able to collect the data and becoming aware of my strengths and weaknesses in my game so I can do something about it. We're seeing things like, you know, I think there's some a few interesting points here. Is most golfers out there, they tend to select the wrong club out of the bag. So they're actually coming up short of the green. And something else which I find interesting is that golfers under the age 19 tend to be most accurate off the tee box with their drivers, with about 55% of them hitting fairways off the tee. I just think that's interesting. I think that's really interesting, actually. So that's the type of, you know, with a million rounds captured, knowing what golf clubs people are using, knowing what courses they're playing on, we have a tremendous amount of data on what's actually happening out there. But, you know, there's all types of things for helping golfers improve, lower scores. But at the end of the day, if they really understood the distances they were hitting their golf clubs, you know, that would actually help dramatically across the board.
Hey, John, I'm curious, as you guys are collecting data, this may be a little bit off the reservation question, but as you're collecting data and you're seeing different courses come in, and there are courses all around the world that you're collecting data from, do you guys pay enough attention to see when a course pops up that maybe hasn't before, and maybe it's a Royal Troon, or it's an Augusta, or it's a Pebble Beach, or when one of those sort of signature, I don't know, bucket list courses shows up, do you guys go, boom, we got Augusta, and boom, we got Troon? Is there somebody there who watches that kind of stuff?
The honest answer is no, there's not. But, like, for example, I guess that the biggest of them all would be Augusta, right? So
right.
we have usage on Augusta. We have players that have used the technology on Augusta. Not just like Graham McDowell or Jim Furyk and these guys, actual golfers, non-professional golfers. Right. So that one surprised me. That one really surprised me, actually. I think it's less that we would be looking at courses like that. It's like when we see the likes of Seth Curry or Andre Goodell or these guys, when we see the likes of those types of names pop up on the system, and we're immediately like, is that Seth Curry, the basketball player? And then we go and we check, and sure enough, it is. That's what I find very interesting, is the people that are using the product. There's all types of people using the product, from the high handicap golfer to the scratch golfer to the professional golfers. Actually, that was, you know, that's the other thing we are finding, is that because the technology because the tech can be used in tournament play, we found players like that have since joined our Sportstar network, like Sophie Walker, the latest European Tour player, Maria Vershinova, the number one female Russian golfer, players in the South African Tour. That's the other thing we're finding is that professional golfers are beginning to use the technology, especially outside of the U.S. In the U.S., the PGA Tour have ShotLink, which is, you know, where they collect all the data, all the stats of all the tournament players. Well, outside of the U.S., they tend not to use ShotLink. And what we found is that players now have started in these different tours, Men's European Tour, Ladies European Tour, Sunshine Tour. We found that players are beginning to use the technology at the tournament level to collect their stats, but also then to socialize their data and to share their data through our system onto like Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. So I think that's interesting as well.
So, John, has your brother managed to beat you in a head-to-head matchup yet? Because I know last time we talked, he hadn't. So, I mean,
I know. He's still trying. I mean, he's still trying his best. And I'm my brother-in-law. I love every time I do this. Like I always bring those guys up because we, you know, and maybe now that I'm saying this out loud, maybe I was biggest driver in the company of this. But we launched challenges. Challenges allow for me to participate against someone that's not on the same golf course or even in the same country. And then this year, recently we launched live leaderboards, which is pretty interesting as well. Which is like, so you go out on the golf course with your three buddies, you all can be in a live leaderboard now while you're playing. So as you're playing, you can see how you're, you know, are you up or down versus the guys you're playing against? And that adds a very interesting competitive dynamic to around the golf. So what we found in our testing of that feature was, you know, you'd go out there, it'd be all nice. The next thing was, once you started seeing the other person's score on your phone, and you could see where you are relative to them, are you up, are you down? It turned the game from something that started as friendly into seriously competitive. So that's a feature that is getting really strong usage right now. And, of course, something people were looking for a long time from us was this whole notion of being able to set the pin location. So now, let's say, if you play a course and I set the pin, if I played the course that morning, if I set the pin locations from the app, then when you play, then all the pin locations are set for you. Mm-hmm. And now we've got putting stats beginning to surface as well. So that was something that users wanted for quite some time that we've launched as well.
Very nice, very nice. So as we go forward, I mean, how far, and I always joke with wearables and all this stuff, how far are we away from me being able to order the, you know, the black suit with all the ping pong balls on it so I can insert myself into my own video game? I mean, how close are we to that kind of stuff?
Well, of course, we're based in San Francisco, right? So we're right in the middle of, right in the center of, you know, like Fitbit are up the road. You've got Strava, the cycling app. You've got, I mean, they're all these companies are around us. And we're constantly looking at what they're doing. What are the features they're releasing? What's good? What's bad? And I'm also constantly looking at, you know, what are the companies that are being funded out here and are starting? And if you look at Kickstarter and Indiegogo, these sites that allow you to see new ideas being, you know, being supported by people around the world. It's amazing how fast, and we're in the middle of it, we're in the center of it, and yet we still find it hard to keep up. It's just amazing how fast things are changing. I mean, it's what you just described there, that already exists. I mean, it pretty much already exists. The trick in all of this, though, is to create something that, you know, that the normal consumer, the normal golfer, or the normal whatever, can go into whatever sport they're doing, and it's unobtrusive, it's easy to use, and that's the challenge of all of these things, and it's our challenge as well. We feel like we're continually getting better and better, but it's how you turn these wearables, etc., into something that is simple to use, doesn't get in the way, and is really intuitive when you're using it. And that is a major challenge, you know, and that will continue to be a challenge for quite some time. You've got all types of things. Some of it will be applicable to golf, and some of it won't make sense for golf. But it's all headed in in a kind of becoming more seamless, easier, more intuitive direction.
We're talking to John McGuire, the big boss over at Game Golf, good friend of the show. And I'm curious, when you talk about the technology versus what the golfer's looking for, I mean, you're sitting there. How do you avoid just chasing what the techies in their, you know, the hipsters in their skinny jeans and their Affliction t-shirts say they can do with what you believe the golf community really needs? I mean, you could overshoot your mark big time by just simply embracing the technology that's available or possible and maybe lose sight of what the everyday golfer needs. How do you balance that?
You know, that's actually a brilliant question. Because it's really true. You can get caught up in your own hype, and you can get caught up in, you're 100% correct. How we balance that out is, in our company, you know, we would have the high handicap golfer, like he's playing off, she's playing off, whatever, 28, 29, 30, you know, really, you know, the beginner. And we have all the way down to scratch. And in fact, in the Irish office, we have a tour player from the Sunshine Tour. So we have everything, you know, from high handicap, mid handicap, low handicap, to the scratch, to tour player. And then we have like the elite tour player, which is Graham and Jim and Lee and these guys. And not so much in Jim and Lee's case, but in Graham's case, you know, Graham has called the office. And as we've set up meetings with Graham McDowell, where he would run through with product and engineering, what are the features that we're coming out with. Because everybody's involved at the product level. So we all do the testing. We you know, let's say we're coming up with a new roadmap. So the way we kind of do that is, we'll look at all the forums. We'll do some surveys of the customers to get a general sense of how it's going and what are they thinking of some of the features. And maybe then some new features we'll kind of hint at what they might be. And then once we get a kind of a customer feedback, then we'll also then internally we'll bring those different golfers together and just people that know nothing about golf, to be honest with you, from even outside of the company. And there'll be a discussion around what do we think, you know, whatever the features are that we're planning. Let's say live leaderboards, like the feature that we launched recently. So there'll be a discussion around that, what the different types of golfers would want or need. And then we come to some sort of a thesis around that, or some sort of a conclusion. And then that would set off the product guys in a direction. And then they would, product and design, they would start looking at, okay, well, how do we implement something like that? And how do we do it in a way that's intuitive, that's easy to understand? And sometimes we get it right. And sometimes we launch something, and then we have to go back to the drawing board and readjust it. So, you know, we take feedback from different types of golfers, non-golfers. That's how, you know, and I feel like I have a good sense on, for me, it's always the same, right? In fact, the guys in the office are probably sick of me saying this. It just has to be easy and it has to be intuitive. It can be, you know, even for like stroke skin analysis, right, is a great example of a feature that we launched. It's using the PGA Tour. Professor Mark Brody out of MIT came up with this system of measuring the game. The PGA Tour has embraced it. So we got into a conversation around, you know, doing it for the amateur golfer, because we have enough data now to be able to run our algorithms against. But you know, it would have been easy for the geeks and the et cetera to have launched just the graph part of that. The real skill comes in being able to turn it into English and actually feed it back to the golfer in a way that makes some sort of sense. So that's part of my job, I guess.
All right. Well, John, man, we're up against it. We appreciate you jumping on, as always, and we'll keep our eyes and see what's coming out next from you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
That was John McGuire from Game Golf. Well, that's our show for tonight. Make sure that you join us every Thursday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Mark Greenhalgh, Mike Fracina. You're listening to the Golf Shop Radio Network.